Mjuhat Eichem Kashani, places that there's Avonot over there, that's right. And anyhow, bloodshed, always, when a person is a murderer, they put him in prison, what do you dress him? Red. He's ready. This is bloodshed.
It's black and white.
The what? Okay.
Rabbi,
now,
excuse me, is it better for the kaparot to actually kill the chicken and to go to the butcher, or is it better to pay?
Well, I spoke about it. You weren't here. I said what was tradition, what was before. Today is very difficult, and I'm not going to go over it now because we have so much to do. As I said before. It is a duty of a person, even if a person did something wrong to you, to forgive on the day before Kippur, because if you forgive, HaKadosh Baruch Hu also, Midah Keneged Midah, will forgive you. Even if you say to your mind, he doesn't deserve that I will forgive him. Still, a person should forgive in order that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will forgive us also, even if we don't deserve. Now, as I said before again, there is more eating on Yom Kippur, there's a mikveh on Yom Kippur, there's tevilah on Yom Kippur, there is malkut on Yom Kippur. I'm mentioning them all in short because I spoke so much about it. There's a custom of lighting candles. The question is, when we light the candles, usually every Shabbat and Hanukkah, where do we light the candles? In the place we eat. Why? The whole idea of the candles for what? For the meal. Where come from the mitzvah of lighting candles? The Torah said, "Bekarata la Shabbat onig." You must enjoy yourself on the day of Shabbat. The Gemara said, "How do you enjoy yourself? With what?" So I'll enjoy myself in driving. Of course not. That's why I light the laws of Shabbat. The Gemara said, "Bema'achad u'mishteh." The meals of Shabbat is not the same as the meal of the weekdays. Comes Friday night, you have a meal to honor the Shabbat. Now this is the Kiddush. The Chod Yom HaShabbat, the Kaddish Yom HaKiddush, and you eat your meal. If you eat your meal without light, is there any enjoyment? The enjoyment of a person, when he eats, and he sees what he eats. If a person doesn't eat the same, a blind man never satisfied. Why? Because he doesn't see the food. That's why when a person comes to eat Friday night, he must have light. The light those days used to be with what? Candles. Anytime the girls ask me, "Oh boy, if this is the pack, today we have all the light we want, what do we need the candles?" I said, "You're right. Suppose you are going to the switch, you don't have the candles. You'll say, 'Ashek the Shams at us on a Dikna Shabbat,' you put the switch on, nothing goes on. What do you do? The bracha is the batala. At least this in your hand, you do it. Secondly, you have to celebrate, to show that this is holiday. Today, even in a big party, what do? They decorate.
Okay.
They put candles on the, they have all the lights in the world. They put a candle. That means there is some decoration, beauty to it, adding to your feast. And that's why you light the candles. Therefore, that means the lighting of the candles every Shabbat for the sake of the meal. And you put it in the room that you are eating with. The difference between Ashkenazim and Sfaradim, Ashkenazim put it on the table. We object on the table that you eat. Why? Because it becomes a base for something that you can't move. Suppose you move the table and that. Therefore, we Sephardim put it on the side. We don't put it on the table that we eat. Ashkenazim, but it's a matter of argument in the books. That's the difference between us and the Ashkenazim. You are Ashkenazim or Sephardi?
No, I thought I heard from you we're supposed to put it on the table. My wife used to put it on the side, I told her to put it on the table.
I respect your thinking, but when you come to say, you think you heard from me, I never did, I won't, I said always Sephardim, don't put it on the table. We don't put that. I'm emphasized that many, many times to my students. Ashkenazim, you see them putting on the table. They always show you the picture also. And, you know, it is in your mind because when you were a little child in the kindergarten, they put it on the table in front of you and they showed you, they demonstrated this way. you know, a child came to me, Rabbi, you told us something like this about Moshe Rabbeinu or not. I said, I told you. I said, yes, Rabbi, because I don't know anything only from you. I heard it from him. What is it? It's something against the opinion of Chachamim. I would tell him something like that. I was patient with him. Okay, what else? What's your question? And I started thinking. It was a time. I realized, I said, tell me, did you see the picture of Ten Commandments? I said, yes, Rabbi, I did. I saw it twice. You know, this makes an impression on him more than with Rabbi, and he thinks he healed it from the Rabbi. He saw it. And that picture, they showed you a romance between Moshe Rabbeinu and the people of the palace, those ladies, and the Shema Israel. And he already thought, I told him, something that a person sees with his eye, and that makes such an effect on him that he thinks this is the right one. And surely what I got it from my rabbi, including Ezra. I did not say the candle should be on the table, never. For us, Faradim, not. For Ashkenazim do. If Ezra and his house, they will say, that's okay, his wife. That's what she saw in her father's home, then surely. But we Sephardim, I don't think that in his house they did on the table, in his father's home. They didn't put on the table, did they? I'm sure your mother used to make the araya, the bowl with the oil, with that. The way my mother did, but all those mothers, and they did it on the side, they did not put it on the table.
What if one partner happens to be Ashkenazi?
What?
What if one partner in the marriage happens to be Ashkenazi? Which direction do you...
You mean the husband and wife, you mean?
The husband.
Always the wife's supposed to follow the husband. This is the according to the law. They ask me many times, couples that are coming to get married, I explain to them that the wife follows the husband. Unless the husband, he tells you, for example, Syrian people eat rice on Pesach. They don't eat. Comes the wife, said, I don't mind. In my family, there was nothing. I will follow my husband. If you are going to follow your husband, everything, then you will be allowed. But they will have to make hatara on what they with their custom. But you can't impose on her if she
not
wants to. No. She wants to follow the restrictions of her family. But she cannot also change him. But in general, the wife follows the custom. This is Jewish law and according to Talmud. I'm not...
No exceptions.
No. Now, as we say today, this is the Shabbat, the time of the meal. How about Kippur? Where do you put it? There is an argument about it. If we put it in the bedroom, some they say it's good to put in the place that we go to sleep. Some they say, argument, if it's good or not. Some people, they do put it in their bedroom where they sleep. Some people, the opposite. They put it, and where comes from these ideas? You know that the things that we're not allowed to do on Kippur, there are five things. We are not allowed to eat, correct? We are not allowed to wash. We are not allowed to apply any lotion. There was no perfume or anything. I intentionally said lotions because in the mind of many people only perfume. Maybe it's something else, it's okay. No. Now there is also no shoes, leather shoes. Then there is, they can't have any relationship with the wife, the tashmish. Now the question is, what's better, to have light in the bedroom or not? Some they say, they're not to have. Why? Because you see your wife, you get tempted. This way you're in the dark. You don't see her, you don't get tempted. Some say, no, it's better to have a light. Why? Because according to the halacha, it's not allowed to be with your wife with the light on. And since there is a light, he's not going to do it. And therefore, that's from this argument came the two different customs. Some they say better to have light in the bedroom, but they're not. There is a pasuk when Noah built the ark, Hashem, it's sitting there, God told him, go build an ark. And he told him exactly what should be the size of the ark and how in detail should be that ark. And told him, make also Tzohar to the Teva. What is Tzohar? They were puzzled. The word Tzohar comes from the word light. Why? You see, the time of the day, the brightest time, it's called Tzahorai. That means it comes from shining. The word Tzohar means shining. Make something to shine, to give light. What is that thing that you will make to give light? There's an argument between the rabbis. Some they say it was a window, halon. Some they say, no, that things that God told him make something to give light was a special stone shining that gives light inside. Now, what the argument? What's the difference to them? It's halon or that, they should argue about it. But it's written in the Torah, Kadosh Baruch Hu tells Noah, you go to the Teva, but when you go to the Teva, be careful. During the time that you're in the Teva, you're separated from your wife. You and your sons alone, your wife and their son, their wives alone. That means God forbid him to be with his wife during the time that he is in the ark. Why? People are getting drunk. When people are in trouble and suffering, you will go to enjoy yourself, to have a happy life. A person should share the suffering of human being. God told him, time of suffering, you don't do it. Okay, the people deserve punishment and that, but still and all, human beings are being destroyed. Don't feel happy about it. And therefore, Kadosh Baruch Hu told him to be separated. So therefore, because separated, we're arguing. What's better, to have light inside? And if you put window, the window, it's good during the day. But during the night, dark. But if you put a stone, it gives light during the night too. Some they say it's better to have light because it cannot be with them. Some they say, no, it's better not to have light, not to be tempted. That's why they came and said. Now, from this came the idea of Kippur, exactly. Some people, they have the custom to put the light in their bedroom. Some people, no. The opposite, they don't. And everyone will follow the custom that he saw in his family. As I said before, the Tosefet, the adding to the Kippur, is mitzvah from the Torah. From this they learned also. Now we'll go to the things of Kippur itself. We come on Kippur, the very, very holy day, very first prayer, Kol Nidre. I said, Kol Nidre here. Such an important time. Kol Nidre became, among Ashkenazim, the Kol Nidre, the singing, unbelievable. Really, they went to the top. The biggest Hazanim of there used to be one Yosele Rosenblatt, was a very, very talented with his voice, with his composing melodies. And I remember I saw him once when I was a child in Eretz Israel. He came to visit Israel, and he passed away in Israel. And the greatest rabbis eulogized him, the chief rabbis of Israel. They say how great Tzaddik he was, because he was one of the greatest very religious men, and the biggest Hazan up to now, the records from him and that. And this was Yosele Rosenblatt, and always tried to copy him, all Hazanim. Even Goyim tried to. Used to be a program over here on television, Perry Komov, everybody. My wife came, come see. They gave a scenery of a synagogue and a hall, and Perry Komov was singing Kol Nidre Shema Israel. I saw a Goy singing Kol Nidre, was trying to imitate that Yosele Rosenblatt. Imagine that the song of Kol Nidre became such a big thing. Of course, we have different things, but still, it's a very, very solemn moment. What is on Kol Nidre? We come and say, Lakhatarat Nidari, but then they say that we are permitting ourselves to pray together with those who violate the laws. That means there is, today we're all equal. Good, bad, we all become good. מתירים להתפלט אמנים, and they say that our prayer even much bigger, because if we have people who were violating the laws and they come this night, because of the teshuva, and that the Gemara says, מקום שבעלי תשובה עומדים, אין צדיקים גמורים יכולים לעמוד. If a person makes תשובה all heart, in all his heart, in all his mind, even though he did wrong throughout his life, if he became really sincere and became good, he's considered better than the greatest tzaddik. Why? It is more difficult for him that after he got accustomed and used to do all these wrong things, and they all of a sudden to come, to stop all what he was, it needs such a strong will to become. And this is very, very difficult. It's very difficult. It's considered one of the highest. And they come and say, really, very strange. A man is good all his life. Tzaddik, you come and say, this one is better. Everybody will come and say, then I'll be bad, better. When I come, I'll make the Shiva, I'll become greater than that great man. First of all, that's very difficult. One out of a thousand that will happen, that really will make the Shiva in all his heart after he is accustomed. He will never see the day that he will be good. Omer Gemara said, Omer Echeta Ve'ashuv, Echeta Ve'ashuv. I'll sin and I'll make the Shiva, I'll sin and make the Shiva. They will never give him a chance to make the Shiva. This is that how important it is that a person should not think this way, but in case happened that he did and wholeheartedly he became ready to make teshuva, nothing is going to stop a person from making teshuva that God will accept him. God is going to accept anyone. Since teshuva is so important, the Gemara said, Gedolat teshuva shemaga'at ad kiseh kavod. Teshuva is so great that can make a person reach up to kiseh kavod. What's kiseh kavod? The chariot of the kingdom of heaven, the chariot of kingdom of heaven. What do they have to say Kiseh Kavod? They learned it from Pasuk. Pasuk, we just read it last week. Shuvah Yisrael, Ad Hashem, Elohecha. The Navi says, Hoshea said, go back, return to God. Shuvah says, Ad Hashem, Elohecha. If you make the Shuvah, you can reach up to God. That means the place that only God is over there, nowhere else. God is everywhere, but there is everywhere, there is us here, and this earth is people, there is animals, there is everything. And above us, there is angels, but there is part, even angels there isn't there. Only existence of God. He said, if you make the Shuva, you can reach to the highest point. Be very close to God. That's the Ad Hashem. But the Gemara changed it, said, Kiseh Kavod, didn't say Ad Hashem. Why? I said a number of times, I said, look, Midrash tells us this, as we said, the throne of kingdom, the chair of it, that is, Kiseh Malchut, they call it. Every chair has four legs, foundations, standing on. These four legs, the Midrash said, there is images in the Kiseh Kavod, the kingdom of heaven, there's images of four human beings. Who are they? Abraham, Yitzhak, Yaakov, and David. What's the idea of putting these four images over there? Kiseh Kavod. What do they want to tell us by that Midrash? There's something behind it. I tell you that the whole world exists because of the qualities of these four men. What was Abraham? He was a kind man. Abraham did everything for the benefit of the people. And he would do anything for them. He would fight to help people, good or bad. No difference. He was good to all. He said, if God was kind to everybody, I have to be kind to everybody. God is kind to everybody, even to the bad ones. When he gives rain, he doesn't give it only to the good. He gives it to everybody. The Kadosh Baruch Hu gives us, when he gives the food, he gives it to everybody. But it depends what people do. They know to share it or not. But Kadosh Baruch Hu gives to everyone. Tov Hashem lakol. Rahamav akol ma'asam. Therefore, Abraham Avinu was following the ways of God. Most of everyone. Everybody comes to his own. He didn't check this one. Hey, you're good, religious? Come to my house. No, get out. Everybody, Toda, come. They came in, they sat down. finish eating. Thank you, sir, for your hospitality. Thank me. What for? What do you thank me? Look, you did me all the time. I didn't. You know, the creator. This man always worshipped idols. He doesn't know. Creator who? Oh. He can't be seen. He has no image. He started lecturing them. That's how we brought them close. After all, a man is kind to you, doing everything, giving you all the food and all the hospitality, serving you, doing everything. He would try to bring people closer to God. The people far away from God, try to bring them close. This was when HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Abraham, I'm going to destroy Sodom. What Sodom? The worst people in the world. And he started crying and fighting to save them. Can you imagine? Somebody else will tell you, take them and slaughter them. Abraham Avinu didn't say that. Oh God, please, save them. And you prayed for them. This was Abraham Avinu, kind. That means the world exists that a person, a human being was created for this, to be kind to others. This is what Hesed, Gemilut Hasadim. Abraham Avinu was the highest personality that did this in its full extent. Yitzhak Avinu, Mesirut Nefesh, ready to sacrifice his life for the sake of God. He wasn't commanded. Imagine, Abraham Avinu comes to his son, tells him, son, come, let's go and serve God. Okay, they go. He says, brings fire, brings wood, no animal. So where's the animal for sacrifice? He said, we'll see if we'll have an animal. Okay, if not an animal, we'll put it. Maybe God wants my son to be there. It's Haki is dead. I mean, his father is 100 years old. He's 37. You take me to the, get out of here, old man. You lost your mind. That's what it would be in America in the 20th century. You know. Anybody. Yitzhak said, ooh, Dad. Let's go quick. Rush. If I'm chosen to do that, I'll be glad to. And Yitzhak is running, urging his father, let's go. And then they come there and say, Dad, time me good, but maybe I'll get scared, I'll move a little. The korban, the sacrifice won't be too good. He's telling him, we read in Aichar Ratzon, he tells him, please, after you burn me, take a little of the ashes, give it to my mother and tell her to smell it. It's a good smell. That means to think of the good deed I did. Yeah, who is the son that is telling you to do such a thing? This is a real Mesirut Nefesh. So he believed that his father is a prophet, that his father is a great man, servant of God. If God didn't tell him, he wouldn't do it. If this is the will of God, I'm going to do it. You have to have a very strong belief in God and in his servant. This is what was Yitzhak Yaakov, dedicated himself for learning Torah. A man is 63 years old. His father sent him go to get married. He goes on his way. He said, get married. When I will learn Torah, I'll stop my learning. Let me go back to learning. Because he learns another 14 years. Can you imagine? 77. Then he said, now maybe the time to go to get married. Yeah. He had to learn Torah. And when he went to get married, still he was studying Torah. In the field and everywhere. Yaakov dedicated himself. Not an easy thing. Some people think, hey, what's the big thing? They sit down in a room alone. They say two rabbis. A rabbi was walking the street and two port workers, porters they call them. They were telling, what a big deal, the rabbi sitting alone and look at us, how hard we work, loading, unloading. The rabbi heard it, he came to them and said, listen here, to the one that was saying, what's the rabbi? How much do you make a day? He said, $100 a day. Listen, come, I'll give you 150. Sit down, learn Torah with me. He said, really? You give me? Yes. I'm ready, I'm going to quit my job. He quit. He came for 1 week. He sat down to the robber was giving him 150 every day. He sat down, reading to him. Then he saw how hard it is. He said, he can't take it. a week later, I said, no, God, why I don't want? I want to make my $100 with that hard work, and this is harder for me. I can't do it. Dedicate himself, deprive myself from all that, from the word, do only here, sit down and read Torah with you, I don't want. It's easy to say it, this is easy. But sit down, that Yetzirah, there is. Oh, how much disturbs a person from sitting and learning Torah. I said, I can't. Then he went. This is very hard. Yaakov was considered even most difficult what he did, more than Abraham and Isaac. And then comes David. What David? David, people thought he did something wrong. The Hashem told him, listen, people think you did wrong. But God, you know, I didn't do wrong. And David American said, no, I didn't do wrong. No, he didn't say. If God, you feel that the people think I did wrong, then I'm wrong, please forgive me. And David the Melech right away turned to what? Teshuvah. So David the Melech, they put him where? And the image over there, to show you one that makes Teshuvah, reaches till Kiseh HaKavod. Gedolah Teshuvah, Shema God takes a person to reach Kiseh HaKavod. Look, David the Melech, where he is, over there. That's why they changed it from Adas Melecha to give you a hint on David the Melech. Such a thing, Teshuvah. They say, if you look at what the Shua, it's written, Tav, Shin, Vav, Bet, Hem. This is the principles of the Shua, that a person, when he wants with the Shua, to think about these plurals. What is the Tav? Tav, there is a Pasuk in the Torah, begins with Tav. One of the principal things that a person should think about. Tamim Teyeh Im Hashem Eloyecha. What's Tamim Teyeh? Tamim in Hebrew has two meanings. Tamim, perfect, and Tamim is simple. You know, you read in Korban, they say, when you take the sacrifice, make sure that it says Tamim, perfect, without any blemish, complete. But there is Tamim, can I get a Ba'av and even the Berat Torah? One is Tam. What's Tam? Simple. He doesn't know. Tam, he said, Mazot, what is this? You know, a person that doesn't know even how to put the question. What's this? What's that? That's what I'm. Then the Torah said, Tamim Tiyah. Say, Shalem Tiyah. What a complete, perfect. Well, to say Tamim has maybe this one. No. Torah intentionally put Tamim. You want to be perfect? Be simple. What does mean be simple? Don't act a big shot. The simplicity brings a person into perfection. He will reach perfection by his simplicity. This Tamim Tiyah Am Hashem Elohecha. He said, your emunah should be complete with God. Not ever, but I do believe in God, but I can't do this, I can't do that. God will understand, you know, the way they talk here in America, you know. God will understand. I saw somebody, a rabbi, supposed to be a rabbi in America, a rabbi. All of a sudden, I went to the synagogue. Hoshana Rabbah. He stands in the synagogue over there. He's such a logical English. He holds the Arava in his hand. He tells him, I entered exactly at the time he was acting so dramatically. He said, oh, you know, according to the Kabbalist, we have to take this Arava and bang it on the ground. It has to be the ground where there is earth. But God will understand that under this floor there is ground, he says. And we will not have to go out, we'll do it here. But then what the Kabbalists come and tell you, do it on the ground. They know also, the Kabbalists, that under every floor there is ground. Switch everything. God will understand that under this floor there is ground. I looked at him, I said, Ribbono Shel Olam, and he didn't see me that I entered. After the prayer was over, he looked at me, oh, Rabbi Ben Chaim, you're here. Yes, I came here at the time that you were doing the thing of the Arabah, that really, that you told them that there is a ground under the earth, under this floor. He knew that I was sarcastic. These people are out of their mind, wasn't it? And they capture the mind of the people. And this is how This is tamim to hear Hashem Elohecha. A person should, at some point, don't try to be too wise, tell people and things like this. And what we come to so to go, I know time is going short. There, it's every principle of Judaism. We have to accept it the way our fathers did. Our father moved. If we remember how our fathers lived, unfortunately our children don't see that way of life. They didn't see how those fathers lived. Even when I came to the States, I saw those simple people that they lived according to their understanding of their parents, what they did, their grandparents, what they did. Nobody doubted anything, and they were doing it. That's why the whole community became what it is, because of those fathers. I happened to be in a synagogue. I came early in the morning, 5 o'clock, into the synagogue. I sat down before anybody came. One man came in, an old man, elderly man. He was in charge of the kippot of the night. He goes, he doesn't want to disturb me. I was with a book, he can go back and forth. But I said, I told him in Arabic, "What are you looking? You want to talk to me? See, you got that? I see you're restless." He started crying. "Yes, Rabbi, I do want to talk to you." "Hey, there is a young man I know. He's under your influence. He did something to this Rabbi yesterday, and he was disrespectful to the Rabbi. And what do you cry?" He said, "I'm afraid that something will happen to this young man today. He will go. Who knows what will happen? A car will hit him or something." Look at the emunah they had, because he was disrespect, the disrespect that he showed to the Lord. "So don't worry, I'll take care of it." He told me what happened. After the prayer, the young man came, was praying. I took him aside and said, "You did that." He said, "But Rabbi, look, he did this." I said, "No matter what, you have no right to do that. Go and ask him to forgive you then." And he listened to me. He went. He went, he asked the Rabbi to forgive him. The Rabbi said, "No, you are forgiven." He kissed him. The man, the old man, now was crying second time from happiness. He came to me, hugging me, kissing me. He had a comfort. He felt very comfortable now. That this son, I saved the life of this young man. The emunah that he had, this is the emunah. Today, everything, it's nothing. This is what tamim tiyeh em Hashem Elohecha. Ve'ahavta le'racha kamocha.
Shin.
Yeah, I know. B'chavana, en daizman. Ve'ahavta le'racha kamocha. The golden rule. Love your the fellow man as thyself. It's something little, big thing. A person, if down that comes, the Gemara said, most of the mitzvot depend on this principle. If a person will come, the Torah said, don't do this to your friend, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this. All these, don't do this. What you don't do to yourself, you don't do to others, including that. You like people to steal from you, don't steal from others. You like somebody to hurt you, don't hurt somebody else. What you don't like, what you like for yourself, that's what you like for your fellow man. It's not something easy, but it says, this is the kelal gadol v'tomar v'akibah said. This is most important principle. If we think about it, always think when you come to think about your friend, would I want him to do that to me? Then yeah, don't do it. This is ve'ahavta le'racha kamocha. We can behold the rachecha da'er, ruye yasher hadecha. The Gemara said, what is behold the rachecha da'er? David HaMelech sent the name. In all your ways you should know God. What is in all your ways? In all the ways. What in all your ways? No. Even in your ways, when you go to business, when you enjoy your life, but enjoy it in the way of the Torah. Do it in the, we don't want to deprive you from everything. Do enjoy life, but enjoy life in accordance with, no, to blend it together. Be loyal to your religion with what you are doing in your life. I don't tell you only in the ways of mitzvot and a mitzvah to know God. Know Him also when you are in business. Know Him in your, wherever you are, wherever you go. You travel. And a person comes and says, oh, God will forgive me. I am in my home, in my business. I can't keep this, keep this, keep that. What can I do? I have to go on vacation, take my wife. And I have to go to Hawaii. I have to enjoy life with them. What to see? To see those that will dance in front of him and all the nonsense, come put something over his shoulder, a ring or something. This is what enjoyment of life. Wherever you are. Not a person has to be a Jew in Brooklyn in his house and over there to be a goy in Hawaii. No, they don't say that. If you feel impossible, why should you go to Hawaii? Go to a place that you can keep your religion. Who says that you have to have a vacation in such a place altogether? If a person, there is a story on Rabbi Alfandari in Yerushalayim. Rabbi Alfandari was one of the greatest of our generations. I was a little child when he passed away. He passed away, he was 118 years old. A rabbi that all his life was in Torah. If nobody dared to come to disturb him, the greatest rabbi used to go to him shivering. Once some rabbi asked him a question, said, wait a minute, yes, 60 years ago I saw it in the introduction of this book. He had tremendous rivalry and with a ladder. He went, climbed on the ladder, he brought the book down, he said, here, look at this introduction. There you see this question. Such a great rabbi he was. People were such admiration for this rabbi. It was called Rabbi Alfandari. A great rabbi in Europe, Rabbi Shapiro is there. He knew about the greatness of this rabbi. He was very anxious to go to see him. He wrote him a letter that I intend to come to see you. I heard about you and I want to see you. He used to call him the holy grandpa. Hasava Kadisha he called him. And he said, I'm mishtokek, I'm longing to see you. And the rabbi told him, why should you come to see me? Maybe you disturb yourself from learning Torah, disturbing yourself from prayers. You wouldn't pray in Minyan. You'll be on the boat. And he said, no, don't stop yourself from learning Torah to come to see me. Said, okay. 2 months later, he sends him another letter. He said, I'm sick already from the feeling that I want to see you. I'm in my house. I said, okay, if you reach such a stage, you're sick already, you can come. I said, but don't worry, he told him in the letter. I won't disturb myself from my Torah and my Minyan. I'm taking my people with me. He brought people on the boat with him. A couple hundred instead of 10 Minyan. He came to Yerushalayim. The first thing he went to Kotel HaMaravi. Then he came to the rabbi, Rabbi Alfandari. He sat with him. And he was his guest in his house. And he was with him, doing everything with him. The rabbi, after a few weeks, he told him, everything you do is right. One thing is wrong. I don't like it. Yeah. The rabbi Alfandari tells that great rabbi. So one came in how Shabbat, he prayed in Habri late, what's if it's around? That's all good. Why do you do this after sunset? He said, rabbi, from now on, I promise you, I'll never do it. You told me, I'm going to listen. What do you tell me? He said, Bechol derachecha d'ayom, you know what it means. He said, down with this, wherever you go, you see to it that you will not be disturbed from the fulfillment of mitzvot. Whatever you do. This is Behuye Yasher Hatecha, Kadosh Baruch Hu, let you go in the right way if you do this. This is what are the most important principles that I found that a person should be very careful with. We come to Kippur, the mitzvot of Kippur, the prayers of that. Of course, everybody comes and says, Rabbi, I don't talk in the shul. He's talking to me. Okay, can I insult me? You don't tell me the Avtadaracha Kamocha. I can't reject him. There is a pasuk in Tehillim. Pasuk said, Va'ani chehresh lo eshma, u'chilem lo yiftach pivu. David HaMelech said, when people used to come to insult me, I used to be like a deaf that don't hear. Then like a dumb that cannot talk. But he didn't say I. Like a dumb who cannot, who doesn't open his mouth. What mean his? He said, "Va'ani chaharesh lo eshma." He said, "Eshma, I do not hear." Then he said, "Uchilem lo yiftach piv." He doesn't open his mouth. He said, "I'm like a dumb who does not open his mouth. I, uchilem lo eftach pi, not lo yiftach piv." So now, the Melech comes and said, "If I'm chaharesh lo eshma, then he, the one who talks, well, will not open his mouth." If comes a person to talk to me, and I don't listen to him, I'm busy with my prayer, then he will not talk anymore. But if I'm going to give him my ear, he's going to use his mouth. That's what I said. It comes, I don't do it. But you're sharing it with him by listening to him. This is what I said. And many times, excuses there is for everything. We know. Well, look, but we all do wrong. We're human beings. But some do wrong, depend. The Rambam said, what is, in Rosh Hashanah, when they come, they open three different books. There is books called Books of Tzaddikim. There is books called Books of Rishayim. There is books of the middle one. In between.
Benoni.
Who is the Tzaddikim, Rambam said? They check a person in his book, what they do? 60% good, 40% good is Tzaddik. According to the majority. Person 60% bad, 40 good, no good. Rasha. 50-50 is Benoni. And if you will do one mitzvah, every mitzvah, maybe I'm 50-50. I'll make one mitzvah, I'll become the good one in the book of Tzaddikim. See, when they write letters during all the month of Elul, they go to inscribe you in the book of Tzaddikim, they say. That means that you will be the majority good. Say, if a person would think about it all the time, I'm in balance, 50-50. Before he does something, maybe this is what will determine my fate for the future. And I have to do it. After he does it, so maybe it was the 49, but I did now the 50 yet. Comes another one, so maybe now is the 50 yet. But everyone said, maybe now. Ah, that this is the beginning. Okay. The Sifran Shel Tzaddikim to be the majority good. But a person, there is somebody 80% good, 60% good, and then it goes lower, the temperature is lower, I don't know. There's 40. That's poor. A person has to see to it that the Kadosh Baruch Hu will give him the possibility, if he can become perfect, to have very difficult 100%. Not everybody is ready, huh? Could we become 100%? No. It's hard. But some there are 100%. Very, very hard. Maybe the Gemara said only four people can do anything wrong in their lives. Arba'a metu ba'atyo shel nahash. Only four died. Why did they die? Because of the gezerah that God gave since the time of snake with Haba. Because God ordered death in the world. But if not, they wouldn't die because they didn't do anything wrong. Only four. But the rest, everyone made that little mistake. But I wish we'd have only that little mistake. The little mistake that they did. What is it? Today, the greater you are, the more they are careful with you. וסביבה ונסערה מאוד. הקדוש ברוך הוא מדקדק עם צדיקיו כחוט השערה. If a tzaddik, he does the littlest thing, consider, very big. If a simple man, I can let him go. If you remember what I said, a person has a suit. If he is a mechanic, it's all dirty. Comes a little dust on it, he cleans it. Let it be, another dust, another one. It will go to the washing machine, will be washed. But if a person has his beautiful suit, nice, all of a sudden comes a little dust on it, right away, what happened? Right away, it doesn't wait. And if a person is good, all of a sudden he has something wrong, small thing wrong, they clean him right away. If Hasid, he suffers. They give him a little suffering to clean him, by the way. But the person is bad, maybe invite when we go into the machine. That machine is called Gehinnom. There is the special machine. They make a good cleaning out of the person. That's the one. This is that. When comes the Kippur, with the prayers, if we pay attention to the meaning of the prayers, with every al-hayt that we say, what is it? We look at the prayer. Al-hayt shahatan fanecha be'onis. Al-hayt shahatan fanecha be'ratzon. Sometimes we are making avon, we are forced to make the avon. Very difficult. We were in such a condition that we couldn't. But sometimes al-hayt shahatan fanecha be'ratzon, willingly. A person pays attention that they said, still I have to make the Shuvah on this and on this. Why I didn't have the enough strength to resist that Avon? And willingly, Shema Yisrael. And you look like alphabetical order. On it, Bevlidan, Asharon Begalui, Begilui Arayot, whatever you say, Vedatu Mirma. If we sent and say something to it, if I can sit down and explain that al-had, so much there is to talk about every sentence, that will take hours and hours to explain.